Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm an award-winning blogger, YouTuber, life coach, badass entrepreneur, manifester, and author. My mission is to awaken and to inspire women to live their best lives now and to find their purpose in life. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and to start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes today. I hope you're all doing really well. I am so excited for this week's podcast episode as we have the lovely Johnny Lawrence with us. So Johnny, if you don't know, is a people-centered, forward-focused life coach, self-development specialist, and the host of Life Talk, the self-development podcast. He has combined his own experience of trauma and healing with education from formal sources alongside reading and seminars to develop a deep intuition and passion for helping others. Welcome to the show, Johnny. How are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for this. It was lovely speaking to you last time and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. So I came on Johnny's podcast a few months ago and I had to ask him to come on mine just because we had such an epic conversation and I love Johnny's story as well. So I thought it'd be amazing to share his perspective as a self-development life coach, but also some of the traumas and challenges that he's been through throughout his life as well. But before we get into all of that stuff, when did you spiritually awaken, Johnny? What's your story?
I'm not sure I can say I spiritually awakened. But I definitely come to realization that I had a lot more control over my life than I thought I did. And that actually, if I, you know, like my mum used to say, if you want to get things done, do it yourself. So that's where I've sort of come to the realization that some of the things that have happened to me in my life, the trauma and all of the childhood experiences that I had, yes, they were bad. Yes, they were awful. And yes, they shaped the way I see the world, the relationships I form, and the way I live my life for a very long time. But after a little while, I started to realize that some of those things, had I changed the perception of them, can actually be gifts. And that was where I realized that, if I can do that, what else can I do? You know?
Definitely. And I think that's a really good way to look at it as well, because some people class themselves as spiritual, some people don't, and there's no right or wrong with it at all. And like you say, it's probably more of that gradual unfolding of awareness and realization and thinking like, okay, like I can see things differently and use these different tools and modalities to support myself and to, you know, help yourself get out of a really difficult space. So I love that perspective. So in your work, you talk about relaxing more and being present, and the present moment is such a hot topic. I love talking about. So how can we relax more into the present moment and stop striving for perfection, which I know both of us do suffer with?
Perfectionism, as you put it, is real. Yeah, I mean, I've really, probably with perfectionism, I've probably only just recently really been in a space where I've been able to sort of see it for what it is. And what I believe it is an addiction. I am addicted to perfection, you mm-hmm. know, or at least striving to perfect things. And one of the things that's really helped me the most is accepting situations as they are. You know, like my son, he has a lot of challenges, and I very often have to say to him, what can you smell? What can you see? You know, what can you hear? And bring him back into the moment very often, because I think, especially for me, when I've got so many demons of my past if I sit and dwell upon wishing things were different, wishing I hadn't had certain experiences, it can take me down dark paths. Mm-hmm. And then if you take that trauma and that expectation of how life can turn out, I can be quite anxious about things coming up, even things like this, you know, or what if I say something wrong? What if people don't like me? What if all these different things? So, you know, growing up with trauma left me with hypervigilance. It left me with a feeling of dread. It left me with like fear and paranoia, catastrophization. That's another one. Wow. There was a time where I could take anything. If you give me £1 million, I would be concerned about how I was going to spend it, you know, and self-hatred is the truth. And it wasn't until I started realizing that my thoughts and the way I think aren't facts. They're not truths. And then you have a bad thought or a thought in a moment affected by a mood. And then you sort of add another thought on top of that, and then another thought on top of that, and another thought on top of that. And before you know it, you're in a really bad way. So I started realizing that actually what I can do is I can observe my thoughts, and I cannot assume that they're truth or facts, and that actually everything is changeable. And I come to the conclusion that you have far more control over your life than you think you do.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true, like you say, because I've literally been talking about this very recently on the podcast, ironically, about like living grief and allowing things to be what they need to be. And I think that's definitely been such a powerful journey for myself over my spiritual journey over the last 5 years, because, you know, I always say, oh, I'm a Virgo. But actually, like you say, it is that addiction where through trauma, through limiting beliefs, fears, whatever it may be, whatever you've experienced, you know, like holding on to that control, like it's not helping you to manifest. It's not helping you to be in that present moment. And, you know, it's ironic, isn't it? How we have to grieve those versions of our lives that we thought we were going to have, or we thought we were going to live. And it's just not spoken about enough. So I think that's why people really struggle to get present and be in the present moment, because they're still reliving that past or romanticizing that future. And neither are here, neither exists. Like we're here now having this conversation, you know, but are we accepting it for what it is? So I think it's definitely that awareness is key. But also, like you say, being able to witness what you're feeling, what you're going through is so important, because then you can say, right, where has this come from? How can I deal with this? How can I, you know, how can I work to heal and release this, essentially? So
asking it questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, with perfectionism, I found like I had a bit of an all or nothing attitude towards things, you know. And the problem with that is, if you're striving for perfection, which is impossible, right, then first and foremost, you're setting yourself up for failure. And if, you know, I get people that say, well, how about almost perfect? No, almost perfect was failure to me. I'm sorry. I don't want to say that's right. I've come to realize that that type of thinking was not serving me, is probably the best way to put it. But then, you know, like I said about unrealistic expectations, having unrealistic standards, and putting that on somebody else as well, you know. And I used to do that a lot, because I had trouble trusting people. So I would set high bars for myself, which I would or wouldn't achieve. Then I'd set high bars for someone else, if not only to confirm that people let you down. And it's like, wow, you're really giving this some thought, Johnny. What's happening here?
Johnny, but I literally think we're like the same person. I'm literally like, did this.
Well, I gravitated to you. I said that to you in the podcast that that we did together before, that, you know, you spoke to me in a way in which I needed to be spoken to at the time. You helped me understand. And what I loved was that you own any flaws that you perceive, you own them. You put them out there. You're not trying to be perfect, which is ironic. Just recently, the last time I spoke to you, we were speaking about investing in the outcome. Mm-hmm. I get so invested in outcomes that it's actually ridiculous. It's laughable, in fact, because I will try to influence situations way past the point I can influence them. I want to do is do all the work I can do, work hard and say, that's the best I could do. And now I'm going to move away from that. And I'm going to surrender, as I've heard you say before.
Doesn't work, does it?
I struggled a lot with that. I'm like, so surrender. Where's what's, you know, it's like, no, it's not negotiable. It's just, that's it. It's done. But I find that really hard to do that. And the only way I can really get around that now is know that if I do something and I'm proud of myself and I want to improve upon that, that's okay. But don't do it from that point of that, you know, that taught self-hatred that I had as a child. Do it from a point of the point from where I love and respect myself enough to make that improvement. And that's what I tried to put over to clients as well. You know, especially when I was a health and fitness coach. If somebody hated themselves and they wanted to change something because they hate it, I would tell them from the beginning that wasn't going to work. And they would say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, when you can stand with yourself, you can want to make improvements on yourself. That's okay. You know, we can all look in the mirror and say, oh, you know, I'd rather if my tummy wasn't so big or my bum wasn't so big or whatever. That's okay if that's what you want to do, but don't do it because you hate yourself. That's that's really, you know, when it gets difficult to achieve that goal, when the challenges come in, when the friends say, hey, do you want to meet for wine or whatever, hating yourself's not going to hold up as motivation.
No.
Loving yourself and giving yourself compassion and saying, hey, I've been good. I've exercised a few times this week. I've watched what I ate. I'm going to go out and have some cocktails. I'm going to have some wine. I deserve it. Because guess what? Nobody piled on loads of weight from having wine one night. It's never happened, you know? So
exactly.
Anyway, I digress, I think.
Good digression though. And I love what you said, because it's really true. Like, balance is key, whether it's weight loss, whether it's fitness, whether it's mental health, whether it's whatever it is, you know, balance is key with all of this. And I think it's when you can really look at yourself and say, hey, I'm going to mess up. Like, me and Johnny can sit here and say, we've messed up in life, I'm sure, many times. We are going to mess up. We're humans. We're messy human beings. We are not designed to be these perfect creatures that just excel, because guess what? We're on a spiritual journey. Like, we came down here to the classroom of life to learn. And when you learn, just like with anything, whether it's driving or learning to ride a bike or whatever it is, you're going to fall off the bike. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to feel like giving up. You're going to feel like you're a failure. But with persistence and with time, you're going to learn how to ride that bike. And now, you know, you ride that bike or, you know, drive your car, whatever it is, without even thinking about it. And I think it's really about giving yourself permission to mess up. And I think Brené Brown's work really was the turning point for me with this inner work, because I just love how she talks about, you know, being imperfect, daring greatly, being in the arena of life. Like, I think her work is so beautiful for that, because she so openly shares the messy side of life. And I think it gives people that permission to be like, you know what? Life is messy sometimes, and that's okay. And not even the Virgo or the perfectionist can, you know, perfect that. It's just life.
Yeah, I'm a Gemini, so imagine what the struggles I have. Me and Johnny often argue. It's not, I mean, Brené Brown, she is an industry treasure. What she did, well, I don't know if I can articulate it. I'm with you. I haven't read all of her books, and our mutual friend Hannah put me on to Daring Greatly. And I'm just making my way through that. But I've seen the TED Talks, and I've seen the Netflix special, and constantly watching interviews and podcasts with her in. And yeah, you're right. She's, you know, I don't know what the world will be like without her work. I truly believe it's impacted everything.
No,
I don't know how you can hear it and not be affected by it.
Definitely. Well, definitely read Rising Strong as well. That was my second favorite. Daring Greatly is the first favorite book. Rising Strong is definitely the second one. And I just, it's the follow on. So it makes a lot more sense once you've read Daring Greatly, but completely agree with that. So let's talk about the inner critic then. So we've spoken about perfectionism. So with that comes the battle, the inner critic, of the inner critic ego coming up being like, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. Are you good enough? So what are your top tips for dealing with the inner critic?
I noticed something, and that was that when you criticize yourself, you judge a judgment on yourself. It's very often how you judge other people too. So actually, it's very difficult to say to somebody, you know, a lot of people talk about speaking to yourself in the mirror. Now, I don't agree or disagree with that. But what I do wonder is how useful it is if you don't believe it. So if you look into the mirror and you lie to yourself, say, you know, then that's I'm not sure that how helpful that's going to be. So what I'm trying to say is how you judge other people will most likely be how you judge yourself. So practice not judging other people. You know, first and foremost, not judging is probably not an option. We all judge. Everybody does. No matter what they say, we all make judgments of people. But what you say, what you put out there in the universe, that is a choice. You know, we've all seen things and gone, better not say that, you know, and actually after practicing that for a while, I think you can actually get very good at how you articulate or how you think around your judgments. And then I believe that will have a knock-on effect on how you judge yourself. So that would be my first point. And the other thing as well is to not be too unkind to yourself. So have that compassion. You know, we all have that friend that says to you, that gives you their opinion. And you just think, that is the most useless opinion I've ever been given. But what you say is, thanks, mate. I'll take that into consideration. Do you want a drink? You know, and I think that that's a good approach to take yourself. If you are criticizing yourself, then that's okay. You know, thank you for that criticism, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You know, So not taking that criticism, internalizing it, and then coming to the conclusion that you're useless and that you hate yourself and that you can't do anything, you know, which is what can happen with some people. And I think also, you know, I know you speak a lot about it, and I could speak about it for hours or listen to you speak about it for hours around the inner child. And that inner critic, everyone I think is quick to criticize or dislike that inner critic. But actually, is it not possible that it could be a part of you that's not being heard or not being served? So if your kid says something or does something, you're not going to come in at them, you know, with this barrage of shouting and anger. You're going to try and help them understand. You're going to speak to them kindly and softly because you appreciate that they're a small child and they just don't know this yet. You know, and I say that a lot to my clients and it irritates the life out of them. And it's that you don't know something until you know something. So why be so, what is the sense in saying, I'm so angry that I didn't know that. Why? You didn't know it. There's nothing you could do about that. You were unaware and now you're aware. If you do it again, maybe you can be a little bit more harder on yourself. But to be hard on yourself for not knowing something is a bit silly, really. So what I'm saying is treat yourself a bit like a child. In some sense, you know, nurture that inner child of yours. I don't know whether that's inner child healing or not, but I think that nurturing that side of you is a very positive thing to do. Remind yourself often, remind your critic often of the things that you're good at. I'm sure you've done it. I have. You put up a post, you're really proud of it. And loads of people tell you how great it is and how inspiring it is. And then this one person says, I don't agree. guess what you're thinking about for the rest of the evening? The one person that doesn't agree. And I think it's really important that we focus more on the things that we're good at, the positives, instead of the negative. Because the truth is, you can't be good at everything. You can't please everyone all the time. And that you'll find that if you focus on the things that you're good at, that it's going to be, you're going to be a lot happier, I would say. And then lastly, who's to say that the criticism's not right sometimes? Who's to say that it's not right sometimes and that there isn't a root that needs to be looked into, you know? Because I heard a great story. I can't remember where I've heard it, so I'm not going to say in case I get it wrong, but it was about a monk who asked a room of people, tell me something that you feel you didn't deserve. And everybody spoke a bit about bereavement, losing their job, getting injuries, breaking up with people, losing relationships, lots of stuff. And the monk says at the end, you're absolutely right. None of you deserve that. But I noticed that nobody said anything positive. And the assumption is there that we wake up in the morning and whatever.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The life we're leading, all the good things that happen to us, that we deserve them, but we don't deserve the bad stuff. And it's like you meet somebody who wins the lottery. Did they deserve that? I don't know, you know, but lots of people think they do and will take that over the bad stuff. So sometimes when you're criticized, or you criticize yourself, is there a point there? Should you listen? Are you feeling a bit embarrassed? Are you resentful because you're embarrassed? You know, it's okay to make mistakes, you know? So I think that's what I would say to dealing with your inner critic.
And I think that's such good advice, because the inner child, like, you know, from my work as well, like it is, I always see the inner child ego, inner critic as the same, because it is that version of yourself that wants to be seen, that wants to be heard, that wants to experience love. So that reparenting yourself, almost, of like having compassion, talking to yourself like that small child, it is absolute healing, and it creates wonders. And I love that you brought up mirror work as well, because I think a lot of people, especially in the law of attraction sphere, affirmations and mirror work are the most like, do this, you'll manifest your dreams. So when I suggest it to people as like self-love exercises or self-love healing, they're like, oh, but you know, I do affirmations, they don't work. But you're right, you have to believe them to some degree. You can't just look in the mirror and say, I'm a millionaire, because you're going to be like, what? No, you're not. Or, you know, even look in the mirror and say like, you know, I'm beautiful and confident. To some people that might be like, oh no. Or even the I love you statement. I normally get my clients to say I love you in the mirror, and they're like, don't make me do it. So like, I think with affirmations and stuff like that, I always say like, look at it on a scale. So if it's a 7 or above on the belief scale, so 1 being I don't believe, 10 being I fully believe, great, work with the affirmation. You believe it to some degree and you've got that space to grow. But if you are feeling that it's a 2, don't say that affirmation, because like Johnny said, you're not believing it. You're feeling like you're lying to yourself. So you're actually not getting anywhere with it. So
that's where imposter syndrome comes from, doesn't it? You know?
Exactly. So simplify the affirmation, simplify it into something that does feel that 7 or above, and build up from it. So I loved what you shared there. I thought they were really good tips. And, you know, I've never actually heard someone talk about maybe sometimes it's right as well, because I think even then I was like, oh, that's so true, Johnny. It's so true.
Don't want to hear bad stuff. And, you know, there are people out there speaking about this now that are saying that's some of what's wrong with society these days, is that we're trying to create this unrealistic world where no one's offended and nothing goes wrong. And, you know, and I've been, obviously, I've been a mixed race kid all my life. Like, well, what other choice did I have? but I have. And there's lots of things around race that are difficult to accept. Mm. But I think it's also unrealistic for me to expect everybody in the world to change their opinion, because I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. I'd love it to be true, but at the end of the day, we're deluding ourselves unless we live and deal with truths. And that's just one of them, unfortunately, that sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you're not right. And it hurts, doesn't it? It stings. Yeah. In a hard place.
Definitely. But it's all about how you rise up from that, the conversations you have, how you can rise up and how you can create more awareness. And I think it's so true what you say of holding that expectation of the whole world being this like perfect picture. Mm. Probably is unrealistic for our lifetime. But even just a small impact, even just changes and creating environments where people feel more safer and feel seen and feel held is something, and it's better than where we were before. So I think even if it's talking to one person or creating an impact with one person, that's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. And that has that ripple effect where it spreads outwards as such. So
it comes down to us. it comes down to individuals, doesn't it? Mm. If we can affect, you can affect people on an individual level, collectively, guess what happens? You know, people start to change their mind about things, or to start to entertain different ideas and concepts.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. So let's rewind then. Let's go back to your childhood. So you had a very difficult past growing up. So having gone through that and that trauma, at what point did you think, I need to make a change here and I need to choose better?
My trauma was, unfortunately, as a child, I had to witness a lot of domestic violence. I also was subjected to some pretty significant child abuse. There was physical and emotional torture. And a lot of people think to themselves, it must have been hard being beaten, being hurt, being you know, victimized in that way. But if I'm honest, for me, it was watching it being done to your brothers and sisters, watching it being done to your mother. That's the stuff that keeps me awake at night. That's the stuff that creates the trauma, because that's the stuff I saw. And I think I feel in many ways that was compiled by the fact that at school, we were a poor family. So at school, I was fairly undernourished and wasn't very good at sport. I later find out in life I'm dyslexic, so school wasn't much fun. And as I mentioned before, with the being mixed race, there is a thing where you aren't feeling very accepted by white people or black people. And it was just that error, I suppose. Things are different now, and in some cases they're not, you know. But if you put them three things together, it very much felt like I was let down by everyone. And what that does is eventually it will break you or make you. And I come to the conclusion that, and actually I make this sound like sort of like a positive thing, but it was born from negativity. I was very angry and resentful of everybody, and the only person I could rely on was myself. So that's where all of the self-hatred comes from, the catastrophizing, the fear and paranoia, the distrust of people, the feeling of dread, the hypervigilance, all these things come from that. But you know what? It's absolutely tiring to live that way. It really is. It's tiring to live that way. I became a professional wrestler around 16 years old, 17 years old, something like that. And lots of people find it really random. But I've been on.
Say, I never expected that from you, Johnny.
No, I did. I've never said this before. But when I was younger, I'd find any opportunity to escape, and professional wrestling was my escape. It was the characters, it was the music, it was the commentary, it was the bigger than larger than life people. It was my escape, and I grew very, very attached to it. And it's one of the really most random and strangest things that makes me emotional. It's weird. Carolyn, my wife, she's like, what is he doing? Why is he looking like he's... it's just, and my son watches it now. So it's very heartwarming for me and him to watch the wrestling together. But I had the opportunity to try it, and I did. And there was a lot of violence in that sport, as you can imagine. Mm. But I later come to find, through going on therapeutic journeys, that it's no surprise that I latched onto that violence. Because guess what? Sometimes you can be comfortable with something that's not good for you, you know? And that's what I was. I was comfortable with violence. I was able to get into the ring, be hurt, and still have little thoughts. I remember times being in moves, being in pain, being in agony, and thinking, what am I going to buy at the train station when I get there to eat on the train? You know, and it's like, who thinks like that? That's unhealthy.
I'm hungry. What am I going to have later?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I had. You know, that's some seriously damaged guy. But the question you asked was, I started to realize that I had more control over my life, and that I needed to decide who I wanted to be, and then construct a life around that person. I wanted to be educated. Well, how does that happen? All of it requires hard work. It's like what I've heard you say before about manifestations. It's not it's not just enough to ask for it. You have to, you know, to stand in the middle of a room and say, I want to win the lottery, but not buy a lottery ticket. it's not likely to happen. So for me, I knew that there was a lot of hard work to change my identity. And part of that was to move away from my childhood town that I lived in, because those people would never allow me to be the person that I wanted to be. Every time I tried to climb up, they would pull me back down again. Now it sounds like I'm blaming other people, but I simply wasn't strong enough to stop them at the time. Now I could probably be okay. I don't want to go back, so I'm not going to. But I live in Cornwall. Why would I? I had to construct that life, and I had to give myself time. I had to be compassionate to myself. I had to stop demonizing my story and take the positives from it. When you're hypervigilant, it means that you notice your surroundings and it helps you find opportunities. That feeling of dread is actually excitement, because everybody knows the same hormone that's released for nervousness is the same one that's released for excitement. It's just the perception of that hormone that makes you believe that. Fear and paranoia. Thank you for trying to keep me safe. catastrophizing. Where's the evidence and what's the worst that can happen? And when that happens, then what? Is it really that bad? And self-hatred. I have to remind myself that I like myself. Mm-hmm. I have to remind myself, you know, for a long time, I've been trying to be somebody only to recently be told, you know, you're already that person, right? And I was like, oh, okay. And that took me by surprise. I was like, okay, cool. So, but the biggest lesson by far, the one thing that's made the biggest difference in my life is being shown by a man whom which I admire greatly, a man named Malachy Dunn. He helped me understand that it's an option to accept stuff as it happens. Really hard to do, really, really hard to do in some cases. Acceptance isn't the same as forgiveness. You know, I'm not sure I can forgive some of the things I've seen and some of the things that have been done to me, but I can accept they happened, and I can stop having their moments. You know, I have never been diagnosed, but I've been told that some of the things I have are very similar to PTSD, you know, and for many years I had a problematic relationship with alcohol because it was the only way in which I was able to suppress that trauma. The truth about alcohol is that in some cases, for me, it worked. It did the trick, but it doesn't allow you to be the person that sat in front of you today, because it has its downfalls, obviously. But some of the things that I've seen, I used to see before I used to go to sleep, when I closed my eyes, you know, things I heard, things I saw, and that tortured me for a while. And by far, I recognized that, you know, like I said, the physical violence, that was bad, but it was the psychological stuff. You know, there was times where I was told I was going to be hurt, but I didn't know when. And I would lie awake at night waiting for it. And if I heard people going to the toilet, I'd be terrified. You know, it caused a lot of incidents such as bedwetting, stuff like that. So it all sounds very bad, and it was. But if I was to show anyone anything in this life, and it's that I've got every excuse, every reason, every thing you can think of, believe me, to not be successful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I sit here in this beautiful home that I have with my gorgeous wife and my two lovely children, and I'm happy. I'm content. You know, it's possible, but you have to want it. You have to be willing to work for it, and you have to be willing to accept a lot of things. Like I said, you don't have to forgive. Sometimes that's not quite possible, but you have to accept it. You really do.
Yeah. And just literally everything you were saying there, I was like, what a flipping phenomenal man you are, Johnny, like to have gone through all of that and to just each thing you went through and say, actually, you know, like my fear is actually excitement. And it's like to even be able to just turn all of those things around and say, actually, now I see that. It's like massive. Like not many people can sit there and say that about their trauma. So like, I think you should be incredibly proud of yourself and just like how well you're doing. And like you say, like against all odds, here you are, content and happy with life. And I think so many people will be able to listen to this and relate to that and take comfort from that as well, because it's not easy. It's not easy to unpack your stuff. It's not easy to accept. Like you say, forgiveness is different to acceptance. And it's not easy to sit there and say, I accept what happened and I feel peace with that, to be able to allow myself to have the life and experiences that I want to live. So I think it's super, super powerful. And I just think that so many people are going to resonate, but also feel inspired by what you said as well. So thank you for sharing all of that. So my last question to you today then, Johnny, is what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my listeners with?
I suppose it's, I lived my life for a long time as what I've heard been called my conditioned self. Mm-hmm. So I lived a life of what my environment, what people, places and things had led me to believe I am. But now I'm living my life as my authentic self, the person who I really am, the person that I'm getting to know even now. You know, I surprise myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's really nice of you, Johnny. Thank you. You know, but, you know, environment's a massive thing to do with it. You know, I had to move away from my entire town in order to achieve that. But it's really important that you realize that anything is possible. And I know that sounds really ridiculous, and I wish there was another way of saying it, but there isn't, because anything is possible. You're in control of your own life. And if you accept some of the things that have happened to you, and you work really hard, and you have to remind yourself that every day the work has to start again. You know, like I can wake up in the morning every day with something I call dad default. And I have to say, that's not true. You know, I look at it like a stream going down a hill. And if you put your foot in front of it, water will go over it, under it, around it, but it won't go away. So you can redirect it. And I have to remind myself every day that I'm loved and I'm worthy and I'm safe. And I suppose to answer your question shortly, which is not what I'm doing, you can achieve anything you want to do. You know, you are in charge of your own life, and you just need to take control again. That's what I would say.
Amen. Love that. Powerful, powerful words, Johnny. So where can my lovely listeners find you if they want to learn more about your work and what you have to offer?
I could be found at Johnny Lawrence Coaching on most of social media platforms. I have a YouTube, some of it I'm ashamed of, but most of it is great. I've been working over lockdown and various lockdowns on something I'm calling the Life School. I'm very excited about it. I've done some trials and it's really helped some people. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens once it gets released. So yeah, Johnny Lawrence Coaching and also the Life Talk podcast.
Awesome. And I will put a clickable link to Johnny's website in the description below, so you have a really easy access link as well. Thank you so much, Johnny. Honestly, it's been such a privilege having you here today. And I just loved everything you said. I think it's given people so many truth bombs. It has me as well. So thank you so much for coming on. It's honestly been a joy.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. And, you know, anytime, I'm always happy to talk to you, Emma. Absolutely anytime.
So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my podcast episodes. I really hope you've enjoyed Johnny and I's conversation today. As always, you can find a clickable link to Johnny's work in the description down below. And if you want to find out anything more about my work, my videos, or any of my offerings, you can find it all over on my website, emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget, you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where I can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a great week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.